The FDA's warning about that growing industry, the CBD part of the cannabis plant. I'm David Brancaccio. A non-psychoactive derivative of the plant that gives the world marijuana has become, you may have noticed, a bit like ketchup, added to everything. CBD, cannabidiol, is supposed to be an anti-inflammatory and a lot of other things, but here's the news. The Food and Drug Administration says it can't be sure CBD is safe. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is in Washington. Kimberly, this all went down, little noticed, before the Thanksgiving holiday.
Right. The FDA sent warning letters to 15 companies that make food, supplements, and beauty products made with CBD or other cannabis-derived compounds like hemp oil. These products have been showing up everywhere since Congress legalized hemp production in the 2018 Farm Bill, but the FDA says these companies are illegally marketing their CBD products and is giving them about 2 weeks to prove they're changing things to be in compliance with the law. On top of that, the FDA issued new warnings for consumers about CBD and other similar products, saying it could damage your liver, upset your stomach, interfere with other drugs, and, unsurprisingly, alter your mood. But the big issue for the agency is what we still don't know about these products, like long-term effects on breastfeeding mothers and male fertility, or what happens chemically when you mix it with certain food and drinks. The FDA says it's still looking into it, but in the meantime, points out it's only approved one product containing CBD, and that's a prescription drug for epilepsy.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thanks. After today's orgy of consumption, Cyber Monday, tomorrow is positioned as Giving Tuesday, a reminder that philanthropy is also a good way to spend money. Charities have new challenges this year, as Marketplace's Nova Sappho reports.
Individual Americans' charitable giving fell by about 3% in 2018, and if the nation's largest charity is any guide, this year looks to be down as well.
Anecdotally, we think that United Way's are down a little bit.
Steve Taylor heads public policy at the United Way. He says his charity's a good bellwether because its donors come from across the income spectrum.
The sector's hurting. We believe that there's a direct cause and effect between the tax law and the drop in giving.
As a result of the 2017 tax reform, fewer Americans are deducting charitable contributions.
There are many reasons why households give.
Una Osoli is an economist at Indiana University's School of Philanthropy.
Tax incentives are certainly a factor in how much people may give and the timing of their gift.
Osoli says this year is the first time charities are feeling the full effects of the 2017 tax law, so they'll have a better idea of its impact at the end of the year. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Markets are pretty calm. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Here, the S&P future is up 0.1%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
From Democrats on the campaign trail, there's talk of what some call a student loan jubilee. What if student debt, which stood at a colossal $1.5 trillion in the summer to fall quarter, were wiped off the books, clean slate? 11% of that debt was 3 months or more delinquent. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been looking at this. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So you have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders essentially wanting to eliminate student loan debt. Other candidates have more incremental approaches. But, you know, just wiping away all that debt is inherently a fair or unfair process, depending on who holds the debt.
Well, David, you're absolutely right. And it's largely going to benefit people who went to Ivy League colleges and, you know, small private independent colleges. So that said, it's a good debate. Let's have that debate. But what I don't want to get lost in that debate is that we need to reform the student loan system, dramatically overhaul it.
What you're saying is, let's say all the debt was wiped out under a new administration. And then what? We would just have the present system underneath it and the debt would rack back up?
That is absolutely right. And where education experts and higher education experts seem to be coalescing is around this idea of a universal income-based repayment scheme. It's like what they have in Australia or in Britain. And the progenitor of the idea is Nobel laureate Milton Friedman, 1955 article, saying, look, for undergraduates, for students in higher education, you don't want them to pay for their education through loans. Yes, the return on education is high, but there's a big variation. Some people get low paying jobs. Some people get high paying jobs. And so he called for more of a equity based repayment system.
Did you have to use that word? Equity is a word that means so many things and nothing at the same time. But again, you're talking about if you're earning a lot of income, when you finally graduate, you'll pay back more.
That's right. So here's the basic idea. It's universal. The more you earn, the more you pay. The less you earn, the less you pay. Student loans, in other words, resemble equity, not debt. And under the system, you can't default on your student loans. And key is this automatic collection of these income-based payments through the tax system. So be automatically deducted from your paycheck. And if you're self-employed, you would just pay for it when you file your quarterly statement.
But something that doesn't seem to be changing is the cost of higher ed. Tuition just keeps going up and up.
Well, you're absolutely right. But it changes the circumstances of the graduates. They can take that job for love, not money.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And two groups of Catholic nuns are attacking, rhetorically, the Securities and Exchange Commission for its plans to make it harder for small groups of shareholders to submit reform proposals to corporate annual meetings. The Ursuline Convent of the Sacred Heart in Toledo and the Dominican Sisters of Peace, based in Columbus, have written the SEC saying their new rules proposed are a solution without a problem. The Dominican Sisters, for instance, have a $300 million portfolio and want to have a strong voice in changing corporate practices they want improved. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.